Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. I am your host, Christopher. During our program, please join us in our chat rooms where you can comment, ask questions, or discuss our program. You will find that on blogtalkradio.com/hallelujah-pete. You may also email us your questions at hallelujahpete@gmail.com. You may also send a text message to us with your questions or comments to area code 567-259-6043. Also, like us on our Facebook page, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Happy Monday, everybody. And once again, I say unto you, my precious brothers and sisters listening out there, hallelujah, praise the Lord. And I also say, thank you, Jesus, for another lesson in Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E, the Bible. And there are so many versions for us to draw from, but all of our lessons and instructions will be taken this evening from the Old King James version of the Bible. And as I welcome you all to this episode, I am still excited about the study that we have going on right now out of the book of Proverbs. And you know, the book of Proverbs is a book of wisdom, and that Solomon gave us so many different examples of what and how to do and perform these terse examples so that we can live a good life this side of eternity, obeying the will of God. Now, I highly suggest that you have your Bible sources open, your laptops, your tablets, Bible apps, or regular Bibles, and have your pens and pencils ready for taking notes. Another reminder, every 10 minutes or so, we will have a commercial break, during which time you may ask questions or comment or inquire if you like. The host has graciously set up a chat room for that purpose. Now, before we get started, as I always do personally, I'm taking this time to thank those of you who have taken the time to give me feedback on this particular show. My brothers and sisters, the comments and the advice that you're giving me, I am using, and I would encourage you to continue to do so. Okay, as our theme song for the show suggests, the question for this hour is, are you standing on the promises of God or Jesus Christ? Said to the church at Ephesus, he that overcometh shall eat of the tree that is in the midst of the garden of the paradise. That is taken from Revelation chapter 2, verse 7. The promise is that you will overcome whatever confronts you, especially in this instance where you have left your first love, which is God, and have gone astray from that. You will eat of the fruit of the tree of life in the paradise of God if you overcome. The next God, Jesus says, the Spirit said to the church at Smyrna, he that overcometh shall not be hurt by the second death. That's taken from Revelation chapter 2, verse 11. Again, we're talking about overcoming. And the instructions that the church gives at Smyrna, if you do exactly what it says, you will not be hurt by the second death, my precious brothers and sisters. Again, the Spirit says to the church at Pergamos, he that overcometh shall eat of the hidden manna and will be given a white stone with a new name written therein, and no one shall know it but himself. This comes from Revelation chapter 2, verse 17. And again, we're talking about overcoming. And we're talking about specific instructions that you can read from the church at Pergamos. And if you follow the directions, you will eat of the hidden manna and receive a white stone with a new name written therein. So the question, my precious brothers and sisters, is again, are you standing on God's promises? Now, before we go to the study, I always rehearse it. I'm reminding you that the Bible is written in code. And that means mysteries, secrets, parables, prophecies, proverbs, paradoxes, riddles, symbols. And the only way to break the code is through study and learning. And that's why we're on the air tonight. That is why we're together, one with another, to study and learn together. Now, let's go to the study. Turn your Bible sources with me to Proverbs chapter 29. And we're going to be looking at verse 21. And in this verse, identically reads the instruction. And so the instruction says, he that delicately brings up his servant from a child shall have him become his son at length. That's taken from Proverbs chapter 29, verse 22. And of course it says, the scripture, he that delicately bringeth up his servant from a child shall have him before his son at length, will have him become his son at length. Remember when we learned in Proverbs where you train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not deviate from it? Well, my precious brothers and sisters, this is similar to that. In fact, we have good example in the book of Daniel, where not only Daniel, but the three Hebrew children, Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego, were brought up in captivity by Darius, the king of the Persians. And of course, even though there are so many examples given about what they confronted, the thing is that when they were in their elder ages, they still were serving the king because he did not mistreat them. And that's so significant to understand. If this is what the New Testament says about that, in fact, we're going to go to 2 Luke, or we're going to go to 2 Timothy. Turn with me, if you will, your Bible sources to 2 Timothy. We're going to look at verse 24 through 26. And this is how Paul taught Timothy about the same. Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 24 through 26. And this is what it says. 2 Timothy chapter 2, it says, and the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taking them captive by his own will. This is what Timothy is being taught by Paul, that we must delicately handle all folks. And if we do, then the result will be positive for God's sake. Now, we also can look, if you will, to Luke. And Luke chapter 6, verse 31 also tells us this. And Jesus is speaking, and as ye would that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise. That is how Jesus confirms the same. Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, we've reached our first pause. Let us take a break, and then we will continue with the lesson.
Dear child of God, nothing can touch you without God's permission. Everything you face, you have the grace to overcome. Let me tell you what's going on behind the scenes. God is ordering your footsteps. He's the type of God that does things like remove one opportunity from your life that was once a blessing and replace it with an even bigger opportunity. Or he'll move certain people out of your life. People who have served their purpose for that season, and he'll replace them with people who will elevate you to the next level of faith. People who will cultivate your gifts and help you walk in godliness. You see, child of God, don't try and hold on to the dead things in your life. That last opportunity had its season. Let it go. God has bigger opportunities in store. That last relationship didn't feed you anymore. Let it go. God has prepared new relationships for you.
Dear child of God, there is no need to be worried or anxious, for God is with you. God loves you just the way you are. You were created in His image, and that means you are unique in each and every way. God is behind the scenes, pulling the strings. He is ordering your steps. He is the lamp to your feet. So walk with your head held high. Walk by faith, not by sight. Walk with the confidence that Psalm 23 gives us. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil. For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Walk with the confidence that surely goodness and mercy shall follow you all the days of your life. Walk in the full knowledge that you are on the winning team and the enemy has already been defeated.
God says in His word, I know the plans I have for you. Plans to prosper you and not harm you. He is pulling the strings. Your every step is ordered. Dear child of God, you do not need the validation of others. You don't need the approval of other people. You don't need to be afraid. You don't need to fear. When you feel left out, when you feel rejected, or when you're hurt, don't let what you feel make you forget what God said. He says, you are chosen. You are redeemed. You are protected. You are a child of God. And I want to tell you this. God cares. God cares about your emotions, about your pain, and about your happiness.
Dear child of God, nothing can touch you without God's permission. You do not need the validation of others. You don't need the approval of other people. You don't need to be afraid. You don't need to fear. God orders your footsteps. God will fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. Don't ever forget that. You shall hold your peace. Dear child of God, when you feel left out, when you feel rejected or when you're hurt, your Heavenly Father tells you that He knows the plans He has for you. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. And I want to tell you this, God cares. God cares about your emotions, about your pain, and about your happiness.
God wants you to know He will never reject you. Dear child of God, have hope. The enemy wants to discourage you and make you feel like things will never get better, like there's no way out. But I want you to know you have a future. I want you to know that God can make all things new. He can take your problem and turn it into something good.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, when we broke, we were looking at the instruction, he that delicately brings up his servant from a child shall have him become his son at length. And we are now looking at what I want you to take from this instruction spiritually, that the way we treat one another will determine our loyalty to one another. That's what I want you to get from this particular instruction. The way that we treat one another will determine our loyalty to one another. Okay, let's go to the next instruction. Turn your sources back to Proverbs chapter 29, and we're going to look at verse 22. And the instruction is basically identical to the reading of the text, and I'm going to tell you this is the instruction. Anger and fury is devoid of peace. Anger and fury is devoid of peace. And this is what the instruction says. An angry man stirreth up strife. Or this is what the scripture says. An angry man stirreth up strife, and a furious man aboundeth in transgression. So you can see that this anger and fury is unpeaceful. In fact, we know of several instances where God gave us example. When God was before the flood, he repented of what he had made man, because man was so sinful that he decided through his anger that he was going to destroy man. And we know that was one instance. And another instance was Israel in the desert. Again, God was so upset with the Israelites, he made them walk for 40 years. And of course, in that time frame, he destroyed many of them. The whole tribe of Israel, or the nation of Israel, could not go into the promised land as they were then. Only Caleb and Joshua went in. So you can see that God's anger and fury was devoid of peace. Now what we're going to do is go to Ecclesiasticus. We're going to look at verse 7, or chapter 7, verse 8 and 9, and listen to what Solomon said in Ecclesiasticus chapter 7, verse 8 and 9 about it. Better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof, and the patient in spirit is better than the proud in spirit. Be not hasty in thy spirit to be angry, for anger resteth in the bosom of fools. It tells us that anger is not controlled easily at all by anyone. And so the New Testament complement says it this way. Let's turn to John chapter 2, verse 13 through 17. John chapter 2, verse 13 through 17. And listen to how even Jesus the Christ did not show peace in his anger to the Jews in the temple. This is what John chapter 2, verse 13 through 17 says. And the Jews, at the Jewish Passover, Jesus went up to Jerusalem and found in the temple those that sold oxen and sheep and doves and the changers of money city. And when he had made a scourge of small cords, he drove them out of the temple and the sheep and the oxen, and poured out the changers' money and overthrew the tables, and said unto them that sold doves, take these things hence, make not my Father's house a house of merchandise. And his disciples remembered that it was written, the zeal of thy house hath eaten me up. So you can see that there is no peace in anger. And of course, we know from the book of James how he put it concerning the tongue. In James chapter 3, verse 5 through 8, listen to what James says. James says, even so the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of the nature, and it is set on the fire of hell. For every kind of beast, of birds, and of serpents, and of things in the sea is tamed and has not been tamed by mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. So we can see that there is no peace when the tongue is wagging. And that anger and fury, that's where it stems from. Now, this is what I want you to get from this particular instruction. I want you to get that to be angry and sin not is difficult. It's difficult to attain. So be careful with it, my precious brothers and sisters. That is the best you can do, is you have to be aware that it is beyond control. And if it does come upon you, you must reconcile quickly. Okay, let's go to the next instruction. Turn back to Proverbs chapter 29, and we're going to look. I see we're at the next break. Let's take this break, and then we'll continue with the lesson.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, let's proceed with the next instruction. Turn your Bible sources with me to Proverbs 29. Back to 29, we're going to take another instruction, verse 23. And this is the instruction that I want you to keep in mind as I read the verse to you. Pride works against humility. Pride works against humility. And this is what verse 23 says. A man's pride shall bring him low, but honor shall uphold the humble in spirit. We know that this is so significant. David tells us that God has cursed the proud because they err from the commandments. And what is significant is that God is requiring us to come before him in humility. We come before the throne of God with homage and obeisance, and we adore him as a king should receive or be approached by his subjects. And we know that the Bible teaches us that God resisteth the proud and giveth more grace to the meek, the humble, and the lowly of spirit. And we know that only through grace are we saved by faith, hope, and love. So it is so critical that we are humble. In fact, Jesus tells Paul that in the grace of God, or his grace is sufficient enough to give him the strength that he needs to overcome anything that is confronting him. And that goes for us too. So we must approach God with humility. Now, let's look and see. This is going to give us an amplified understanding of this humility and pride. Turn with me, if you will, to Psalms. King David is going to share in Psalms 10, verse 1 through 9. Listen to what Psalms 10, verse 1 through 9 says about humility and pride. Why standest thou afar off, O Lord? Why hidest thou self in times of trouble? Meaning that if you're a proud individual, God will not respond to you. The wicked in his pride doth persecute the poor. Let them be taken in the devices that they have imagined. Meaning God is not going to respond favorably to those who act proud. Verse 3, for the wicked boasteth of his heart, desire, and bless the covet whom the Lord abhorreth. The wicked, through the pride of his countenance, will not seek after God. God is not at all in his thoughts. When you are proud, you are self-righteous. And self-righteousness is, again, forbidden by God. Verse 5 says, his ways are always grievous. Thy judgments are far above out of his sight. As for all of his enemies, he puffeth at them. He hath said in his heart, I shall not be moved, for I shall never be in adversity. His mouth is full of cursing and deceit and fraud. Under his tongue is mischief and vanity. You can see that everything that is unrighteous is what the proud advocates and performs. Verse 8, he sitteth in the lurking places of the villages. In the secret places doth he murder the innocent, and his eyes are privily set against the poor. He lieth in wait secretly as a lion in his den. He lieth in wait to catch the poor. He does catch the poor when he draws him into his net. Those who are proud will take advantage of anyone, and that is what this is telling us, telling or rehearsing this to Israel. Now let's go to our New Testament compliment. Turn with me, if you will, to Luke chapter 14. Luke chapter 14, and listen to what Jesus gives as a parable and instructions about being proud and what it will render. This is the parable that Jesus gave to those who were with him. When thou art bidden of any man to a wedding, sit not down in the highest room, lest a more honorable man than thou be bidden of him. And he that bade thee, and him come and say to thee, give this man place, and thou begin with shame to take the lowest room. But when thou art bidden, and go and sit down in the lowest room, that when he that bade thee cometh, he may say unto thee, friend, go up higher. Then shalt thou have worship in the presence of them that sat at meat with thee. For listen, my brothers and sisters, for whosoever exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. So Jesus is telling us that humility is the way you please God. Pride resists God. And this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives, that pride cursed Satan and then man to fall. Pride is the reason that Satan fell, and pride is the reason that man fell in the garden. Okay, let's go to the next instruction. Turn your Bible sources back with me to Proverbs chapter 29. We're going to look at verse 25 this time in Proverbs chapter 29, and I'm going to read this instruction to you. I want you to keep in mind the instruction, and then I'll read the text. This is what I want you to pay attention to. The fear of man brings a snare. Did you hear that, my precious brothers and sisters? Not the fear of God, but the fear of man. That brings a snare. And this is what the scripture says. The fear of man brings a snare, but whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe. That is the key. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. But the fear of man is going to get you in trouble with the Lord God Almighty. And this is what Judges gives us an amplification of this significance of this, what David or Solomon said. Turn with me to Judges chapter 7. We're going to look at verse 9 through 15. Judges chapter 7, verse 9 through 15. And this is the example that I want you to keep in mind. This is about Gideon and how he feared man until he realized that the fear of the Lord was stronger, and then he was successful. Listen to what Judges chapter 7, verse 9 through 15 says. And it came to pass the same night that the Lord said unto him, Arise, get thee down into the host, for I have delivered them into thy hand. This is God telling Gideon, But if thou fear to go down, go thou with Apharah, thy servant, down to the host, and thou shalt hear what they say, and afterwards shall thy hand be strengthened to go down into the host. Then he went down with Pharaoh, his servant, into the outside of the army, or the armed men that were in the host. And the Midianites and the Amalekites and all the children of the east lay along the valley like grasshoppers for multitude. And their camels were without number, as the sand of the seaside for multitude. And when Gideon was come, behold, there was a man that told a dream unto his fellow, and said, Behold, I dreamed a dream, and lo, a cake of barley bread tumbled into the host of Midian, and came into the tent, and smote it that it fell, and overturned it that the tent lay along. And his fellow answered and said, This is nothing else save the sword of Gideon, the son of Joash, the man of Israel. For unto his hand had God delivered Midian and all of his hosts. And it was so, when Gideon heard the telling of the dream and the interpretation thereof, that he worshipped and returned into the host of Israel and said, Arise, for the Lord hath delivered into our hands the host of Midian. I see we're at the next break. Let's take this break, and then we'll continue with the lesson.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, let's continue with the lesson. The fear of man brings a snare. What we're going to do now is turn our Bible sources to Luke chapter 22, verse 23 through 26. And this is how Jesus gave parable about it. But woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days, for there shall be great distress in the land, and wrath upon this people. And they shall fall by the edge of the sword, and shall be led away captive into all nations. And Jerusalem shall be trodden down to the Gentiles, until the time of the Gentiles is fulfilled. And there shall be signs in the sun, and in the moon, and in the stars, and upon the earth distress of nations, with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear, and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the power of the heavens shall be shaken. My brothers and sisters, this is telling us that in the end times, that's what Jesus has given, a scenario, or given a prophecy about the end times, that there will be fear, and the snare, the fear of man is the snare, and this is what will be going on and happening. Now, this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives. It should mean that man must fear God always, who can cast all things into hell, but man only when appropriate. There are times when we should be afraid of physical things that are confronting us, but for the most part, we must fear God completely, always. Okay, let's go to the next instruction. Turn back to Proverbs chapter 30 this time. We're going to go into Proverbs chapter 30, and we're going to get a prophecy from Agar. Agar, that is the instruction, and this is what Proverbs says, chapter verse 1, verse 4, 2, and 3. Listen to the prophecy of Agar. This is what it says. The words of Agar, the son of Jakeh, even the prophecy. The man spake unto Ithiel, even unto Ithiel and Uchal. And here's the prophecy. Who hath ascended up into heaven, or descended? Who hath gathered the wind in his fist? Who hath bound the waters in a garment? Who hath established all the ends of the earth? What is his name? And what is his son's name, if thou can tell? Surely I am more brutish than any man, and have not the understanding of a man. I neither learn wisdom, nor have the knowledge of the holy. But at least he prophesied about God and the Son of God, Jesus Christ. And this is, now we're going to go to Isaiah, and we're going to get a prophecy from Isaiah. Turn with me to Isaiah chapter 33. And similarly, there is a prophecy, Isaiah chapter 33, verse 14 through 17. And listen to how Isaiah prophesied about the power of God. The sinners in Zion are afraid. Fearfulness will surprise the hypocrites. Who among us shall dwell with the devouring fire? Who among us shall dwell with the everlasting burning? He that walketh righteously and speaketh uprightly, he that despiseth the gain of oppressions, that shaketh his hands from the holding of bribes, that stoppeth his ears from the hearing of blood, and shutteth his eyes from seeing evil. He shall dwell on high. His place of defense shall be the munitions of rocks. Bread shall be given him. His waters shall be sure. His eyes shall see the king in all of his beauty. They shall behold the land that is a very far off. My precious brothers and sisters, this is the prophecy that Isaiah gave for those of us who stand firm on godliness. We will be the ones, if we obey what this prophecy is saying, that will dwell on high with the most devouring fire. And now we're going to go to the book of Revelations. Turn with me, if you will, to Revelations. And we're going to look at Revelations chapter 11. And we're going to read another prophecy, Revelations chapter 11, verse 3 through 13. And we're going to hear again about the witnesses, and this is a prophecy that Jesus gave in the book of Revelations. And I will give power unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days, clothed in sackcloth. These are the two olive trees and the two candlesticks standing before the God of the earth. Any man will hurt them, fire proceedeth out of their mouth and devoureth their enemies. And if any will hurt them, he must in this manner be killed. These have power to shut heaven, that it rain not in the days of their prophecy, and have power over waters to turn them to blood, and to smite the earth with all plagues, as often as they will. And when they shall have finished their testimony, the beast that ascended out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them, and shall overcome them, and shall kill them. And their dead bodies shall lie in the streets of the city, which spiritually is called Sodom and Egypt, where also our Lord is crucified. My precious brothers and sisters, this prophecy is about the end times, which must occur before the end shall come. Verse 9 continues, And they of the people and kindreds and tongues and nations shall see their dead bodies 3 days and a half, and shall not suffer their dead bodies to be put in graves. And they that dwell upon the earth shall rejoice over them and make merry, and shall send gifts to one another, because these two prophets tormented them that dwelled on the earth. And after 3 days and a half, the spirit of life from God entered into them, and they stood upon their feet, and great fear fell upon those which saw them. And they heard a great voice from heaven saying to them, come up hither. And they ascended up into heaven in a cloud, and their enemies beheld them. And the same hour was there great earthquakes, and the tenth part of the city fell. And in the earthquake were slain of men 7,000, and the remnant were affrighted, and gave glory to the God of heaven. I see we're at. This here is telling us of the prophecy of the end and what must occur before the end does. And this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives. It should mean God affects us to humble ourselves, that God affects us to humble us because of our sins. 185. Let's go to the next instruction. Turn back with me, if you will, to Proverbs. And we're going to look at Proverbs chapter 30, verse 5. Proverbs chapter 30, verse 5. And when I read the instruction, God's word is pure. This is what the scripture says. Every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in him. We must realize, my brothers and sisters, that every word, as Jesus told Satan when he was being accosted in the garden by Satan, that every word that proceeded from the mouth of God is food indeed for the soul, that man does not live by bread alone. So God is the purity that we seek, and every word that he has spoken is pure. And this is what Deuteronomy says about that in Deuteronomy chapter 8. Let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 8. Turn your Bible sources with me to Deuteronomy chapter 8, and we're going to be looking at verse 1 through 3. And listen to what Moses rehearsed to Israel about this purity. All of the commandments which I command thee this day shall ye observe and do, that ye may live and multiply. And I see we're at the last break. Let's take that break, and then we will complete the lesson.
Oh,
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, God's word is pure. This is how Moses rehearsed it to Israel in Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 1 through 3. Listen, all the commandments which I command thee this day shall ye observe and do, that ye may live and multiply, and go in and possess the land which the Lord swore unto your fathers. And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble thee and to prove thee, to know what was in thy heart, whether thou wouldst keep his commandments or so. My brothers and sisters, this is the key. And he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger, and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth forth out of the mouth of God does man live. And that is the purity of life, that God humbled Israel in this example to prove them that they would understand that the word of God is pure. And that's what is the sustenance that they should have to sustain them this side of eternity. Now we're going to go to 1 John, and we're going to look at chapter 3 in 1 John, and we're going to see how the New Testament complement compares and agrees. 1 John chapter 3, and we're going to look at verse 1 through 3. Listen to what 1 John says about this. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world kneweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be. But we that know that when he does appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself as he is pure. The Bible tells us, God says, be ye holy as I am holy. I am the Lord God. In the book of Leviticus, it tells us that. We know that Jesus reiterated that in the gospel, saying that we should be ye perfect as your holy Father is perfect in heaven. And that is where purity comes in being. We must be perfecting, my brothers and sisters. We know that it is impossible to be perfect this side of eternity because of what happened in the Garden of Eden. But we must be attempting to perfect ourselves. And the way and the only reason that we can continue to do that is because of the body and blood of Jesus Christ, where Jesus gave us repentance. And that repentance is what allows us to perfect ourselves. All right, this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives. And I, that God affects us to humble us because of our sins. And that's why we are chastised, and that's why we are disciplined. Now, I use that for the same lesson for the previous instruction, but I was mistaken. That previous instruction was about prophecy, and I should have said this, that all prophecies must be fulfilled before the end can come. And that is what I should have said under the last instruction, the prophecy of Agur, that we know that every word must be fulfilled before the end comes. And with this one being humility, that God affects us to humble us because of our sins. Let's go to the next instruction. This will be the final one for this evening. Turn with me back to Proverbs chapter 30. We're going to look at verse 6. Proverbs chapter 30, verse 6. And this is what the instruction I want you to pay attention to says. Be careful with God's word. My precious brothers and sisters, we're supposed to plant and water, and we're supposed to keep the garden of the Lord. And the way we plant and water is by preaching and teaching, We admonish and we exhort. We witness and we also testify. The point is that if we do it in error, if we do it erroneously, it's going to cause someone to falter. And we do not want to be the cause of anyone going astray. That's the reason that it's so important for us to be careful with using God's word. And this is how Isaiah prophesied it in Isaiah chapter 55, a verse. Well, we're going to look at several verses. Verse 11 tells us, "So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it." That tells us that God's word is critical, and that when we are saying, "Thus saith the Lord," we want to be as accurate as we can be because of the criticality of the word of God. And we're going to go to Revelations now, chapter 22. Turn with me to Revelation chapter 22. We're going to look and see the complement, what it says about this criticality in the end time book. And we're going to go to the last chapter, and we're going to look at verse 18 through 21. Verse 18 through 21. And this is what the book of Revelation says in verse 18 through 21. It says, "I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and offspring of David, and the bright and morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, Come. And let him that heareth say, Come. Let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. If any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. He which testifieth these things say, Surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus, and may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen." You can see that if you add to or take away from the word of God as he speaks it, you must be careful, because these, especially in this book of Revelation, you can see that it says that God will add plagues to those who are discrepant with his word. And that's why it's so critical. And this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives, that God's word is infallible and irrevocable. So that's telling me and telling you that if we don't hold true to the word of God, we will be held accountable for the truths or untruths that we spread because of that. Okay, that ends the program for tonight. And what I want you to do and remember is that as we sign off, the host and I would like to thank you and bless you for your participation and encouragement. Good night.
Thank you for joining us for Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, BIBLE, I hope you are blessed by our program. Please join us every Monday night at 9 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth. Good night.